Please turn to Luke 11, 43. We've been looking through this section in Luke 11, beginning in verse 37 and going through verse 54, where Christ pronounces woes on the Pharisees because of hypocrisy that had entered into their lives. And we're slowing down a little bit to look week by week at one individually at these woes because of the danger that there is for each of us as a part of organized religion, right? We've said that the Pharisees were part of organized religion, and we all kind of and then we said, but wait, we're part of organized religion too. And as those who have been in Christ, for many of us for some time, some of the same tendencies and inclinations toward hypocrisy can show themselves in our lives as well. So we've slowed down significantly, maybe from what we would normally spend on a passage like this, to take a look at each of these woes individually. Before we read the passage, though, I'm reminded that we're talking a lot about hypocrisy, and hypocrisy is, of course, a big word, and since we're talking so much about hypocrisy, kids, it's important for you to know what this word hypocrisy means. Hypocrisy is when you're concerned about dressing up the outside without being concerned about what's going on inside. So when I want to dress up and look nice for the people in the church so that you all think that I'm appropriately dressed for church, while all the time ignoring whether there's sin in my heart and all sorts of hatred and anger that I may be carrying toward members of this church, if I just put on my tie and shirt and come here to the church while harboring that sort of feeling, that would be an example of hypocrisy. So you can think of hypocrisy as when the inside of a person's life does not match with the outside of their life. Then that is hypocrisy. And that's what Christ is dealing with these Pharisees as he instructs them. We'll go ahead and read from Luke 11, 37 down through verse 45, but once again we'll be focusing in on verse 43. And as he spoke, a certain Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and sat down to eat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them are not aware of them." Well, we have a little problem in our nation, and to my best way of knowing, it actually began around the time I was in middle school, say in the late 80s, when the first company, at least in the minds of, in the mind of my sociology professor in college, when Guess Company began putting their name on sweatshirts. And he said that the first time he saw a Guess sweatshirt, he did just that. He said, "Well, what am I supposed to be guessing here?" Well, the problem that's going on in our, this small problem that's going on in our country is that the decoration of clothes has in fact become being an advertisement for the company that created these clothes, so that now we are walking advertisements, not so much for Guess anymore, but for Nike and Reebok and all, Gap and all manner of other companies as well. And the problem with that is that it's sort of like wearing our clothes inside out and saying that the point of me wearing this suit is not for the suit to make me look good, but for me to let you all know that I have a Jones New York suit and to spend this evening service advertising on their behalf. Right? So instead of the purpose of the clothing being to make me look nice, it's for me to exalt Jones New York. And that's the problem that the Pharisees had too. They had things quite backwards in their understanding of what was going on. Instead of the point of religion being, and of worship being to exalt God, they had taken these things that were meant to glorify God and made them into something to glorify themselves and to honor themselves. And so what we need to see is that if our life is not dedicated to exalting Christ, if our response to redemption is not to exalt Christ, but instead to exalt ourselves, that then we're really wearing inside-out clothes. We, like the Pharisees, have our priorities backwards. And that was clearly the case of them, and that's what Christ is pointing out in this verse, that they wanted to be seen and honored, didn't they? The Pharisees, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. The Pharisees loved the good seats. And specifically in the Jewish synagogue, there was actually one seat up front that faced the congregation. And that's at least part of what Christ is referring to here, is the desire to sit up front so that everybody else knows that you're in church today. Everyone else can watch you worshiping. And, so that everybody can see what's going on. In our own nation's history, and even going back before that in the church and in more modern times, we might think of this as Christ condemning pew rental and the desire to rent the high-priced pews, the pews in the front, so that my family pew can be closest in and so that I can show off. In our own congregation, we might say that that Christ here is, hey, woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues. Well, we don't think of those as the front seats so much as maybe the back seats that are the best seats. But that's not really what it's talking about so much as the opportunity to sit somewhere where everyone can see me, where everyone can observe what's going on in my piety and my love for God. It's people who are using coming to church as an opportunity for FaceTime, right? Or as an opportunity to get their name in the their picture in the society pages. We have the RP International Conference coming up this summer, and it's not exclusive to the RP International Conference. It's true of all Christian conferences in advertising. What do you get? Well, you get a picture of some people having fun out doing recreation activities. You get a picture maybe of the big group assembly, of some people sitting around the table fellowshipping with one another. But then there's always pictures of somebody who's found a quiet moment at the campground studying the scriptures. Right? Well, that's fine to have your picture in that publication doing something like that. But hypocrisy would be going to the RP International Conference and keeping your psalm book in your backpack so that whenever you see the editor of the RP Witness coming with his camera, you pull out your psalm book so that you might sing or you bow down for a word of prayer, showing just how pious you are with the hopes that 4 years from now when the publications and the announcement go out, that your face will be plastered across them in a pious and godly way as an example for the whole denomination. Well, that's what the Pharisees did, as absurd as we might think it sounds. They wanted to make sure that people saw them doing these acts of righteousness, and that they were front and center in the minds of other people in their synagogue congregation. And when other people thought of who's godly, who loves worship, that the first face that came to mind was Mr. Pharisee. But what we find is that Mr. Pharisee actually wasn't just content to have people picture him when they thought of that somebody who loved the Lord and was pious and righteous. He didn't just stop at that. He wanted them to remember him not as Mr. Pharisee, but as Mr. Doctor Reverend, the highly exalted and most wise member of our synagogue, Mr. Pharisee. And he loved, we find also, verse 43, the greetings in the marketplace. And that's what it's talking about here when it's talking about greetings, right? I mean, I hope that all of us are enjoy the fact when we run into one another in Walmart and we say, hi, you know, how's your week going? That's part of Christian fellowship. That's not what verse 43 is talking about. That you know, that the godly thing to do if we pass one another in Walmart this week is just to put our head in our cart and continue looking for the next, you know, rollback or whatever they do at Walmart. You know, what this is talking about is, there was formula for this. That when two rabbis or two Pharisees met in the marketplace, that there was all this flowery language and, you know, acknowledgement of one another that they were supposed to use as they greeted each other. And, you know, talking about kind of, it wouldn't be quite as extreme as going through one another's whole resume, but you get the idea of, you know, talking about just all your great accomplishments and all your positions in society. And of course they love this, right? Because everyone else in the marketplace sees me getting greeted as this most wise, you know, scholar of the law of God, commentator on the book of Leviticus and understander of the Torah, and on the list might go. And so they love to hear themselves lauded. And what we see obviously taking place here that Christ is condemning is a proud and haughty spirit. And what we know is that this prideful and haughty spirit is in fact hypocrisy. One place where Christ points that out in his ministry very clearly is in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verse 1. This is in the Sermon on the Mount when he says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." So instead, when you do a charitable deed, do it quietly. Right? Don't make a big deal out of it. And then verse 5, "When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. But when you pray, go to your closet." Verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, go and do so privately." And then to sum it all up, verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your hearts will be also." So what Christ is saying there is, instead of making the focus of your religion to earn the synagogue member of the year trophy, which is just going to mildew in your basement over the next several years, make it your goal to actually store up treasure in heaven and to find a connection with heaven. But hypocrites want to parade their own piety so that they might be seen and heard. And we need to make sure that our motivation in worship that our motivation in righteous living is not to receive accolades of men, not so that everyone sees me and all that I'm doing, but so that the Lord is honored. And this gets us, we not only need to identify what the hypocrisy was, right, but why is this hypocrisy of wanting to be seen and honored, why is it so sinful? Right? I mean, we can all identify now the behavior, but what is it that's particularly sinful about such a behavior? Well, the problem with such a behavior, of course, is that it gets exaltation backwards. Right? The point of Christianity is to worship and praise and glorify God. Not for me to be praised and glorified and worshiped. And what these Pharisees had done and what we do when we slip into this pattern is they had actually reversed and were living in violation of the very first commandment. Right? You shall have no other gods before me. And the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything. Well, what was their God who was above God? Who was more important in the pecking order than God? It was them. Who was the idol who they had elevated up to be worshipped? It was themselves. And so this form of hypocrisy that exalts itself does so in violation of the first and second commandment. And to use other biblical passages that make a similar point, Romans 1. It serves and worships the creature rather than the Creator. Or, to think in terms of the Lord's Prayer, it turns the Lord's Prayer from hallowed be thy name to hallowed be my name. Or the first catechism from my chief end is to glorify me and enjoy me forever. And so it really turns these, in one sense, it sounds like a little thing, wanting the best seats and wanting greetings in the marketplace. But the reality is that this throws Christianity right on its head and flips the whole picture around by seeking the praise of men rather than the glory of God. Instead of focusing on what glorifies God, what brings pleasure to God, seeks what brings pleasure to me and what brings me honor in the sight of men. Not only does it violate the commands that have to do with honoring and loving the Lord, but also really it does violate the commandments to love my neighbor as myself, doesn't it? Because when I'm trying to be exalted, it sets me against you and shoving and pushing for the front seats. Shoving and pushing for the greater honor and glory in the Christian community. It also teaches and models and furthers the cause of hypocrisy in the church by teaching people to judge on the outward appearance. Right? James deals with that in his gospel. Or in his letter, rather, right? When he says that, when somebody comes into your midst with fancy clothes, are you going to bend over backwards to reach out to and love that person more than when the poor man comes in? And so the bottom line is that this form of hypocrisy is wrong because it makes the point of religion the glorification of me. Now, we want to repent of this, of course. But before we deal a little bit more specifically with how to repent of this, we do want to be careful because we need to recognize that just because your religion is seen doesn't mean that it's hypocritical. Right, just because someone gets pictured in the RP International brochure spending time talking about God's Word or in a circle praying with some other people doesn't mean that they're there as hypocrites. And we need to be careful. The point that Christ is making here is not the point of all religion should be pushed underground. And in our own denomination's history, there was a time in Scotland, actually, when the Lord's Supper was observed, where everyone came forward to the table to receive the Lord's Supper. And the pattern that was developed then was that in the church, people felt that, well, if I go forward, I'm exalting myself and saying that I'm secure in who I, you know, in my salvation, and I'm godly enough to come to the Lord's Supper. So what would happen is you'd have congregations of maybe, say, 100 people, where only 3 or 4 of the oldest members would commune. In part, out of a desire to live out passages like this, to not make a show of their faith. Well, that's not Christ's point here. Christ's point here is not saying that, you know, it's wrong to tell people that you're praying for them, because that's making a show of your prayer life. No, it's okay to tell people that you're praying for them. But only do so if you're really praying for them. Or, is it okay for us to share things that God's teaching us or ways that we've been convicted of sin? It's absolutely okay for us to share those things. Is it okay that, you know, are the front seats in our church now off limits as if they weren't beforehand, right? No, the front seats are not off limits. And but the point is if you're going to sit in the front seats, don't make it about making sure that everyone else in the church can see your back and so that you're at the front. There are good reasons sometimes to sit up front. Some of you like to sit up front because you get distracted by other people who might be sitting in front of you, and so it's easier for you to pay attention. That's certainly a valid reason to sit in the front. Saying, I want to make sure everybody knows that I'm here, is not a valid reason. Here's a personal example of this. Since we've come at the Laurelville conference, there's always what's called a consecration service. There's a preaching service on one of the last nights at Laurelville. And, so you're there with your family all week, playing and having a great time together at the pool and at the shuffleboard and at the putt-putt course and things like that. Well, for our family, and this is primarily about me, it's very helpful for me on that night to go ahead and put on a tie and to go to the service. Well, quite frankly, I did not ever anticipate the amount of persecution that wearing a tie to the consecration service at Laurelville might bring on. And every year, I get numerous comments, predominantly from pastors, I'll let you know, who are saying, why are you wearing a tie? You don't need to wear a tie. Why would? And all that we're doing as a family is trying to sort of reset our week and, you know, carve out, make a parenthesis around that time of worshiping the Lord. You know, if you don't need to wear a tie to do that, that's your business. Praise God. But that's helpful to me. And I think that's been helpful to our family. Now, I'm not telling my kids that they always, you know, when they're 30 and have their own family at Laurelville, that they have to have their families wearing ties. That's their business before the Lord. But the bottom line is that we need to be careful to not overreact to this passage. Right? Just because somebody sees you praying or reading your Bible doesn't mean that now you're a hypocrite. Right, we're accountable for what's going on in our hearts, and is our desire to exalt the Lord and to enjoy fellowship with Him, or are we doing this to earn the accolades of other people? But let's get back to the main point, which is the reality is that our problem with this passage primarily is not false accusations. It's not the times that people think that we're being hypocritical when in fact we aren't. The main thing that we need to learn and to see is that our goal and focus in life, our calling in life, is to glorify Jesus Christ. And that when that's not the focus, that then we've got things backwards, just like the Pharisees. So in everything that you're doing, every religious activity that you're doing, your goal is to exalt Jesus Christ. And so keep that goal in front of you. So when you pray publicly, what's the goal? The goal is to talk to the Lord, to beseech the Lord. Even at meals in your own family, when you pray, the goal is to give thanks to the Lord. It's not in any public prayer, in any, you know, out loud prayer, the goal is not that the people around me would say, "Wow, you really are great at praying." In our scripture reading and our scripture memorization, our goal is not that people around us would say, "Wow, you do a lot of Bible reading." The goal is that we would be drawn closer to the Lord. When we share about what's God doing in my life, the goal is to say, "Thanks be to God." It's not to say, "I'm so godly and therefore bigger things are happening for me spiritually than are happening for you spiritually." Or when you raise your children, the goal is not that people would come to you and say, "Wow, you're such a godly, great parent." The goal is that we would raise our kids in the exaltation and ways of the Lord. And when our goal becomes instead to be seen, to be personally exalted, once again, we have things backwards. When the goal of a sermon is to hear, "You're a great preacher," instead of, "I really heard Christ speaking today through you," then the sermon is offered up in hypocrisy. And the reality is that a lot of what we do spiritually can be done with the motive of being seen. And there's somebody else giving us accolades. Instead, what Christ is calling us to is to recognize that the purpose of our life, and really if you could think about it in terms of probably not what's actually going to be written on our tombstones, but think about what you want your life to count for. Do you want your tombstone to read out like your resume? All of your great accomplishments? Or would you like your tombstone to say that in his own small, faithful way, God used him, God used her to exalt Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, the Pharisees got that wrong, and as a result, earned condemnation from Jesus Christ. But may God be pleased to change our hearts and to convict us. So instead of wearing our clothing inside out, that our goal in life would be to exalt the great God who has saved us. Let's pray. Lord, we do confess that all too often that our goal is to receive accolades for us, for somebody else to notice us, for other people to think highly of us, instead of for people to think highly of you and to exalt you. So Lord, please cleanse us of this sin. Reorient our life and our priorities. And Lord, cause us to focus on glorifying and serving you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.